communities. At the same time, it is important not to dismiss the potential for rare but severe side effects until researchers can establish causality, a process that can take years. In an ideal situation, an adverse event would be directly linked to a vaccine using a specific lab test. For example, an early version of the polio vaccine, which used a weakened form of the virus to generate immunity, caused roughly 1% to develop the disease for every 2.4 million doses given. The virus strain used in the vaccine could be isolated from spinal fluid in these cases, says Edwards, so it was clear that the vaccine had caused the disease. But these kinds of tests are impossible for most adverse events, either because there aren't specific biomarkers to test for, or because such tests are impractical. At least initially, the events are only linked by their timing. A person receives a vaccine and then experiences the side effect at some point afterwards. This makes it particularly challenging to prove whether the adverse event was actually caused by the vaccine. Edwards says, especially when the reaction occurs days or weeks after the vaccination itself. To investigate the link, researchers conduct studies to determine the rate of adverse events in vaccinated populations compared with the probability that they occur by chance in people who haven't received the vaccine. They also need to determine the mechanism that could have caused the reaction. During the 2009 H1N1 influenza or swine flu pandemic, public health agencies in Sweden and Finland raised the alarm about an increased rate of narcolepsy, a chronic and debilitating sleep disorder, in children who had received a dose of Pandemrix, a H1N1 vaccine. Incidents of narcolepsy were reported at a rate of about one case per 18,400 vaccine doses, significantly higher than would be expected by chance. Public health officials became concerned about that a component of the vaccine used to increase the body's immune response, called an adjuvant, could cause an unintended immune response that triggered the disease. If the adjuvant did contribute to the increased risk of narcolepsy, it would be an important consideration when designing future vaccines. Early studies suggested that Pandemrix did increase the risk of narcolepsy in certain age groups, but the results were too variable to draw broad conclusions. More than 10 years after that pandemic ended, scientists still don't fully agree about the nature of the link between Pandemrix and narcolepsy. In 2018, vaccinologist Stephen Black at Cincinnati Children's Hospital in Ohio and a group of international colleagues published a study concluding that adjuvants alone are not associated with an increased risk of developing narcolepsy. The researchers compared background rates of narcolepsy in seven countries with the rates reported for groups vaccinated with Pandemrix and two other H1N1 vaccines containing adjuvants. They controlled for prevalence of H1N1 virus in each country and considered that reports of narcolepsy increased across Europe after people became aware of its potential association with the vaccine. We did not find any evidence of increased risk within the countries that we studied, except in Sweden, where the signal had been originally detected, Black says. However, a consensus report published after the International Alliance for Biological Standardization, IABS, 2018 meeting in Brussels, Belgium, concluded that the association between pandemics and narcolepsy was consistent in the countries where increased risk was reported. An exact mechanism for the reaction has not been confirmed, although researchers at the meeting deemed it very likely that the disease arose from an unforeseen interaction between the vaccine and the H1N1 virus, Black says. In the case of COVID-19 vaccines, those that are currently being rolled out were tested in clinical trials with thousands of participants before governments authorized their widespread use. These clinical trials are set up to answer the questions about efficacy and to assess the rate of quite common adverse events, such as injection site pain or headaches, says Hilda Bastian, an independent scientist who studies evidence-based medicine in Victoria, Australia. The multiple vaccine specialists interviewed for this story were all keen to emphasize that COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective for the general population. But even the largest clinical trials are not designed to detect extremely rare side effects, which might occur in fewer than one case per 10,000 vaccinations. Because hundreds of millions of people are now being vaccinated against COVID-19, it makes sense that even very rare events such as severe allergic reactions or blood clots will start to appear in safety reports, Bastian says. The challenge now is to work out which of these events are actually linked to the vaccine.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. With me in the studio are two guest speakers for today's discussion from Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Brother Ali Alavian. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome, brother, and Brother Ali Alavian, assalamu alaikum to you, brother, too.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much.
So, since we are in the blessed month of Sha'ban, and we have many happy occasions, including the blessed birthday anniversary of Imam al-Mahdi Ajalallah. Brother Mahmoud, the producer of this program, and I, Atta, decided to dedicate this series of the program Viewpoints to the main responsibilities and the duties of the awaiters of Imam al-Mahdi Ajalallah. So, different characteristics and features have been enumerated for the true awaiters of Imam of the time, Imam al-Mahdi, Sayyid Muhsin Naqvi. If we want to know who is a true believer in the, we can say, reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi, and he is the follower of Imam al-Mahdi, what are his or her features?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are some features which have been said by the different scholars over the time, but what the Supreme Leader has mentioned, obviously, and it is also mentioned by the other scholars as well, that he said the features that we can find in someone who is the true follower of Imam Mahdi is that he is never disappointed. A true follower of Imam Mahdi, a true waiter of Imam Mahdi, is never disappointed of the situations that he face. Obviously, you know, the big one of the big issues that we have in today's world is that people get disappointed because of different situations. And hence we see, like, for example, in a country like Japan or the other countries, like where we can see, like, the rate of committing suicide is high, it's because of disappointment. People are disappointed from their life. They do not find any mean or any more cause of living. And obviously, because they're disappointed, they see their life is vague. They see that they're living a boring life, for example, like they're beating everything, they're just doing the same thing every day, and there is no hope for them. This is what it caused them to obviously commit suicide, or yes. People in the West or even in the East, they have stress. We have many people eating chocolates, becoming fat because of the stress.
The oppression
and yeah. Everything. So basically, the true waiters of Imam Mahdi are never disappointed, and it is also obviously the believe on the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In chapter 24 verse 55, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, like, we will give the rulership to the people, like, it's about the Imam Mahdi.
Yes.
We will bring the rulership where the oppression will turn to peace, the amount of oppression that we see will turn into justice in the time of Imam Mahdi.
That's right.
And because we are waiting for a savior, and this is a general thing, because, you know, those societies who are waiting for a savior, they are not disappointed from their life. They try to somehow participate in the same cause that for which they are waiting. So this is the very first, can say, one of the characteristics that we have. And on top of that, the second characteristic that we know is they're always ready.
Mm-hmm.
In Persian, they say, like, amade bosh.
On call. Like nurses.
Yes, on call.
Yes.
Like, you know, the Supreme Leader very much emphasizes on this, on call, being on call.
Like a soldier,
you know,
or a nurse.
We can see, like, in this pandemic, obviously, we have seen the, especially in Iran, we have seen the religious people being more ready on call or being on call in this pandemic, helping the nurses, helping the medical staff, rather than those who were not very much religious, or they're a bit scholar.
We see the shutdown of some of the doctors' offices and moving away from the country for the pandemic. Yeah, brother, really, believe me. And so many works have been shut down, of course.
It's because they do not see any, they do not see any divine thing in their life.
Okay.
They're not connected to the aim or the goal of Imam.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when we are the waiters of the Imam, we must be, like, on call.
Thank you, my Sayyid Muhsin Naqvi. It was very kind. So, uprooting disappointments and being on call.
Yes.
These are two features that you enumerated for us for the two awaiters, which are very difficult, brother. In the 21st century, okay, being on call in the midnight is very difficult. Also, uprooting disappointments. Wow, man. So, brother Ali Levian, what's your take on that? What can you enumerate for us?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. I also want to actually pinpoint to some of the factors which are actually known to be among the duties of the awaiters of the Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. One, which was discussed to some extent in our previous sessions, was to gain more knowledge and ma'rifah of Imam himself and the proof of God and the scene of earth. Who is that? Actually, a part of it can be taken from the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the succeeding Imams, that we know that who is the proof of God on the earth and what is his status and what is our duty towards him. If we want to actually know what is our exact duty, we need to study about those companions, loyal companions of the Prophet and the Imams, loyal companions of the Holy Prophet and the Imams, to see those who acted well at the time that they have been with those personalities, with those divine leaders of the Ummah. For example, let's see how Salman al-Farsi actually reacted towards the Holy Prophet and at the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, how Miqdad behaved Imam, and because he understood the status of Imam. So this kind of actually behavior is expected from me as a follower of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
He was really an actor. I mean he was really a person who did endeavor. I mean, Salman al-Farsi,
yeah,
whose original name was Rutbeh, he was living in Isfahan in Iran.
And some say in Ram Hormuz.
Yeah, and nice weather was that, man, on that time. Yeah. Living nice that weather and going to Saudi Arabia, I mean Hejaz on that time, in the hot weather. No, I mean, he wanted to follow the Imam of his time. I mean, the Prophet of his time, isn't it?
Yeah, very true.
So how much endeavor, how much do we do our effort like Salman did?
Very true.
As he the Persians.
He did a jihad, actually, yes, against brother. His own self, and he actually wanted to find the... enter to the path of perfection. Yes. That's why he did a migration, muhajira, hijra.
Yes. Yes.
Hijra is actually admired in Islam.
Yes.
For a person who is after his salvation in both worlds. So hijra is actually recommended for the believers. So he did hijra. So understanding the status of Imam and increasing our knowledge and ma'rifah towards the Imam so that we are not going to be included among the ignorance of our era. A person who has no knowledge of Imam of his age, Imam of his time, he is as if he is living at the time of ignorance. So we take refuge to God to know more about Imam. Who is this Imam? A part of knowledge, as we said, is actually formal knowledge. A part of it is a deeper knowledge that actually requires more understanding, more studying towards the depth of this divine leader, then inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us to understand him more. The next point, or the next feature among the features of the awaiters of the Imam that I can refer to, is to live and behave like Imam himself. What does it mean? To refrain from doing bad things and to actually have readiness to act based on the good things and whatever is deemed to be good. Like Imam, one of the duties of the Imam in the society is Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. That is enjoining good and forbidding the evil.
That's right.
So these are actually the acts of an Imam, the features, the innate, let's say, the innate features of Imam. So we need to follow Imam from this aspect.
That's right.
Whatever is bad, we have to stop doing that. Whatever is good and recommended. So it can be implied in different aspects of our lives.
Yes.
So let's talk about different features. And I think it is a term, an umbrella term for many things. Like, for example, paying sadaqah or khums or zakat, these are the good things that we need to pay. So if Imam asks us to do, and if Imam recommends others to do, so we as a follower, companion of Imam need to do. Helping the poor, helping the needy, helping the oppressed, this is among the things that actually are known to be among the good things to be done. Actually, this is under the Amr term of Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahin al-Munkar, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
Okay.
So whatever looks good in the society, helping the people of the society in case they are in trouble, like in the time that we are in, for example, at the time of spread of this corona pandemic.
Yes.
So what is our duty? And what was Imam's recommendation in case he was among the people? So I need to do the same. So helping the people in case they have problem with regard to medicine, medical issues, or from sustenance in case they are in need of anything. So this is the duty of a waiter to act like his imam, the leader, the proof of God on the earth.
That's right.
So this is what actually enumerated two only duties of an
waiter. Thank you much, brother. Now the big question is, since imam is physically alive, does he get coronavirus too? Is it possible for the imam to get coronavirus?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the verse, "Inna nahnu nazzalna zikra wa inna lahu lahafizun." We say the Quran that we have in the form of book, it's a hard book. And there is a natiq, Quran and natiq, which is the speaking Quran, which is Ahlul Bayt. Allah has said that we have revealed this Quran, we have sent this Quran to you, and we are the guardian or savior of these Quran. So Ahlul Bayt are Quran and natiq. It's in That's the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, there can be many possibilities because the Prophet himself used to become sick, obviously.
Yes.
And it's not a thing that we can deny that no imam can never be. But it depends that imam also knows the way we are not very much careful about us. Imam is very much careful about his body. The things that we eat, for example, fast food or the things that we eat, the junk food, Imam definitely he does not
weakening our immunity system.
Yes, we killed our immunity system.
Yes,
but he has a great. Obviously, they're following the actual or the you can say like the healthy foods.
Okay.
So obviously, we cannot talk about this.
So one of the other features of the waiters is taking care of your
yourself. He has to. He has to because this body that we have, it is an amana, which is given by Allah Subhanahu wa Taala to
That's
us.
Right.
You know, we are answerable towards our body parts.
Yes.
That, you know, if on the day of judgment it is said like the eyes will witness against you, your hands, it's because we have misused them. And that's why they are witnessing against us.
That's right.
The body as well, if we misuse our body, it will witness against us. Because this is an amana, this is a trust that Allah has given to us.
That's right.
We need to take care of this. So this can be, obviously, this is very important. It's not only for the waiters of the imam, it's for all the mankind that they have to take care of their bodies. And because we are not taking care of our bodies, we can see like those people who are obviously affected by these viruses or the other things.
Yes.
It's because of the unhealthy food and unhealthy lifestyle that we have.
That's
it's
right.
It's because of that. So we need to be very much careful about this.
So they say that for the first, the main cause of this pandemic was its transference of the virus from the body of the bat to, you know, human bodies.
Yes.
And, you know, in what a world really we are living, you know, eating everything and killing any animal on earth in order to be edible because the sources are, we can't say, and the people are after, you know, overeating, you know, sexual desire, you know, and this power thing, this money. Bitcoin nowadays is very famous, you know, increase your Bitcoin rate. And this power, wealth, you know, and the money and everything surrounded the lives of the people in today's world. Thank you much, Brother Ali Alavian.
Thanks to you, brother. Thanks for inviting me.
And Said Mohsen Nawi.
You're welcome.
And thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. Visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Khalaf Islam page, also our YouTube channel, Khalaf Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Can I find you, my master, in the unknown? When you're not here, I feel so lost, I feel alone. Calling your name with a broken heart, come to my So many nights, so many days for you, my friend. I know, my master, that
I have many times strayed. I forgot you, I have hurt you, I'm afraid. But my heart's pouring with your love, can you not see how much I need you with me? Come and save me. Every day feels darker than the day that has passed. Each day wears down my patience, but I am steadfast. Just to see one glimpse of you is all I have asked. How much more longer do I wait? How long will this last?
Food for thought.
Hello dear listeners, and let us contemplate on what Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, the fifth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, has said about Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance. The master of the command was named as the Mahdi, because he will dig out the Torah and other heavenly books from the cave in Antioch. He will judge among the people of the Torah according to the Torah, among the people of the Gospel according to the Gospel, among the people of the Psalms in accordance with the Psalms, and among the people of the Quran in accordance with the Quran.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. So welcome and peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, dear brothers and sisters. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, and we're going to speak about overeating in the view of Islam.
So far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away from you. Ooh, Allah, you brought me home. I thank you with every breath I take.
Today, Sunday, is the 21st of Sha'ban, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Farvardin, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 4th of April, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Araf from Holy Quran and verse 31.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya bani آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين.
O children of Adam, take your adornment at every masjid and eat and drink, but be not excessive. Indeed, he likes not those who commit excess.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
God does not want to subject man to want and misery or starvation or to deprive him as such of the good things of this worldly life. On the contrary, it pleases him that men should appear in good, decent dress and enjoy the clean food provided for him by God. There is nothing sinful in that. As for sin, it consists in transgressing the bounds set by Allah. This transgression could be committed in both ways, by making the unlawful lawful or by making the lawful unlawful.
My best times were when I felt close. Everything fell apart the moment I strayed from you. In each smile, in every single sigh, every minute detail, traces of you are found there. Wherever you are, I'll find you. You're the one I turn to.
Overeating, we're talking about. One of the advantages of eating less is the mind is strengthened and the heart becomes gentler in nature, causing one to be willing to submit to Allah the Almighty and be modest and to adopt asceticism and let desires and whims have a lesser hold on oneself, since conversely, overeating creates the opposite. The Prophet advised people to avoid it, as when he said, a few morsels that keep his back upright are sufficient for the son of Adam. The Prophet of Islam also said, the believer eats in one intestine and the disbeliever eats in seven intestines. This means that because a believer eats in accordance with the etiquettes of Sharia, he or she eats as a person who has one set of intestines, whereas a disbeliever eats according to his or her appetite and greed, consuming as much as one would if he or she had seven intestines.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with a practice, I mean a human practice, that is overeating or gluttony. Parallel to overeating, some people think that answering other kinds of lusts is also very much appreciable and very much confirmed. Well, those, physical needs, physical or psychological or spiritual needs should be fulfilled. However, there must be some limitation, there must be some rules. And one of them is that in the Islamic religion, people have been instructed and encouraged to be very much careful of the needy people, of the poor. It means that, everybody needs money, everybody needs food for survival. It would be unfair for some people to be in the practice of overeating or gluttony, while other people, other persons, whether among their relatives or among their acquaintances, who may be hard up to support themselves, to provide themselves with the least requirements for physical survival. Then we find that according to certain Islamic instructions, we find that there's a piece of hadith and moral recommendation related from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that whoever controls his sense of overeating and answering the carnal desires, they would be led to felicity.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Now this question, what are the harms of eating excessively? One must reflect upon the consequences in the next life. People who regularly and extravagantly overeat will be punished with hunger in the hereafter, as repeated unnecessary situation leads to all kinds of sins. Salman reported the Messenger of Allah said, "Verily, the people who ate to their fill the most in this world will be the hungriest on the day of resurrection." On the contrary, the true believer recognizes the health and spiritual benefits of moderate eating, because overeating results in sin, transgression, and a waste of resources. The visceral fat buried deep inside the large belly is severely damaging to a person's health, and it subsequently detracts from their ability to exert themselves in acts of worship like the night prayer or community service. In this sense, it is a punishment for overeating. As the previous episodes of today's special, now we're reach to tips to prevent overeating. Get plenty of sleep. Have you ever sat at your desk, yawned, and then reached for a muffin since sleep deprivation, like food deprivation, leads to a lack of energy during the day. Tiredness can be mistaken for hunger. This is because insufficient sleep promotes the body's survival mechanism to induce an unnaturally strong hunger response. About 35% of Americans do not get the recommended 7 hours of sleep per night. If you are someone who does not get this recommended minimum amount, work more time into your schedule to sleep.
Eating halal is not, it doesn't only pertain to the ingredients. Some of us are good at looking into the ingredients. But eating halal is also paying attention to your income. There are many people, they buy halal food with haram money, with haram income. If you buy halal food with haram income, that food is haram. Because the money that you have, it doesn't belong to you. It's as though you stole it. And Imam Zainul Abidin, salawatullahi alayhi, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, he says, luqmatu haramin. Luqma means a morsel, not a dish, not a week of eating haram, a morsel. لقمة حرام تمنع استجابة الدعاء وقبول الصلاة 40 صباحا. Eating a morsel of haram is detrimental to your spirituality. Your prayer, your salah, and your dua is not maqbool. It's not accepted for 40 days. Now, what does it mean? Does it mean that you don't have to pray anymore? No, you still have to pray. But what it means is that the effect of that prayer is drastically diminished. The reward that you would receive for that prayer is drastically diminished. So we need to pay attention. And then, so the Imam says, Imam al-Sadiq says, eat halal and say Bismillah.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات نعلو به درجات
Light. Hello. Welcome to The Light. As the COVID-19 pandemic has affected most sectors in one way or another, a Swiss tech firm has created a robot that can disinfect airplanes in a few minutes. The startup called Uvea says the robot emits powerful ultraviolet lights as it slowly moves down the aisle, killing 99% of bacteria and pathogens, including the coronavirus. The company says a robot can disinfect a single aisle in 13 minutes. The startup co-founder says the UVC technology has been used for decades in hospitals and labs. He says the fact that the rays could be harmful to humans prompted them to seek an autonomous robot that can carry out the task.
It's quite an old technology, but it's quite dangerous. That's why we want to take the worker out of the range of the light. So that's why we made a robot, because there is some solution when you are near the light, and that's dangerous. So we really had to make this system autonomous. So we switch it on, we leave, the machine makes the disinfection, all the plane, all around, and then it stops automatically. So the worker are not in contact with the machine.
The company is hopeful that technology could help restore travelers' confidence in safe air travel and help bring the worst-hit aviation sector back to its feet. Painting eggs is a beloved tradition amongst Christians, especially Orthodox, on the occasion of Easter, symbolizing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A veteran Hungarian artist has taken that craft to a whole new level. 67-year-old Tunde Chuhai has been designing eggs for decades. Each of her delicate creations takes days to make. Chuhai uses various kinds of eggs and says the best one comes from geese. She starts her craft by emptying the eggs through tiny pinholes before washing and then drawing patterns on them. The veteran egg designer says her style is so unique that she doesn't have to sign her eggs.
I never sign my eggs, as everyone knows they were done by me. I don't have to particularly prove that I did it, because my style is so distinctive, even though others may use similar techniques.
Chuhai's decorative Easter eggs are very popular, so she has to work all year round to meet the demands. Her work is internationally recognized and has featured in galleries both at home and abroad. This year, however, her miniature creations have to stay at home with her due to the coronavirus pandemic. The young British man who is no stranger to danger takes his life in his hands, free climbing one of the highest skyscrapers in Europe. George King made his way to the top of a 116-meter hotel in the Spanish city of Barcelona without any ropes or safety measures. The 21-year-old scaled the building in only about 20 minutes. However, as he was climbing down the building, he was arrested by police. This is not the first time the British daredevil has risked his life with such a nail-biting climb. Last December, he scaled Barcelona's iconic Agbar Tower with a height of 144 meters. In 2019, he also free-climbed the 310-meter Shard building in London. The feat, however, earned him 6 months in a young offenders center.
A chocolate maker in the Belgian city of Bruges has come up with a novel recipe to boost business in the run-up to Easter.
When you're a classic chocolate maker, make very classic recipes. Caramels, praliné, marzipan, and it's okay. We have classic bonbons too. But I think today, the customer wants to go on adventure, also when they are eating something.
The chocolatier's special concoction is a praline made of grass juice, Granny Smith apples, and an East Asian type of lemon. He believes chocolate contains a secret ingredient that can counter the lockdown gloom. Belgium is known as the chocolate capital of the world. The northern city of Bruges is in particular renowned for treating your taste buds to quality cocoa. However, the coronavirus pandemic has diminished foreign tourist numbers, with businesses now relying on local customers. This is heart-melting. A video of a stray cat carrying her sick newborn kitten to a veterinary clinic in Turkey is melting hearts online. Veterinarians were confused as a cat walked into their clinic clutching one of her kittens in her mouth. The cat then meowed for a long time and brought in a second kitten of hers. After a quick examination, the vets noticed that the kittens couldn't open their eyes due to an eye infection. The clinic staff immediately treated the animals, helping them open their eyes after a while. The stray feline and her kittens were placed in adoption after the completion of their treatment. In the heart of one of the oldest districts in the U.S. state of California, there's a historical little printing house that is receiving a new lease on life. The building and its equipment were slowly dying out, and its machines were good for scrap. The iconic printing house was on the verge of bankruptcy until a group of artists revived this beacon of traditional typography. They used what was already present in the building, including the tools and hand printing knowledge. Artists are able to print their new age designs using these old printing methods. Some of the machines date back to the late 1800s. La Linterna was first founded to print newspapers. Later on, it began printing cinema and concert posters for famous artists. Nothing marks the start of spring in Japan like cherry blossoms. This year, people try to enjoy the sakura season safely by observing health protocols. Scores of Japanese have flocked to Tokyo's Ueno Park and along the Magura River to see stunning cherry trees in full bloom. The light pink flowers symbolize fresh starts in Japanese culture. The cherry blossoms generally last from April to May. Thanks to this year's warmer weather, trees have blossomed earlier than usual. However, the number of people coming out to enjoy the season has fallen sharply due to the coronavirus pandemic. Some sakura festivals around the capital were also canceled.
In the heart of one of the oldest districts in the U.S. state of California, there is a historical little printing house that is receiving a new lease on life. The building and its equipment were slowly dying out, and its machines were good for scrap. The iconic printing house was on the verge of bankruptcy until a group of artists revived this beacon of traditional typography. They used what was already present in the building, including the tools and hand printing knowledge. Artists are able to print their new age designs using these old printing methods. Some of the machines date back to the late 1800s. La Linterna was first founded to print newspapers. Later on, it began printing cinema and concert posters for famous artists. Nothing marks the start of spring in Japan like cherry blossoms. This year, people try to enjoy the sakura season safely by observing health protocols. Scores of Japanese have flocked to Tokyo's Ueno Park and along the Magura River to see stunning cherry trees in full bloom. The light pink flowers symbolize fresh starts in Japanese culture. The cherry blossoms generally last from April to May. Thanks to this year's warmer weather, trees have blossomed earlier than usual. However, the number of people coming out to enjoy the season has fallen sharply due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Some sakura festivals around the capital, Tokyo, were also canceled. Asia's largest tulip garden has opened its doors to the public in the Indian-administered Kashmir. The event is expected to draw tens of thousands of enthusiasts this year after witnessing only few visitors last year following the COVID-19 lockdown. Shahanabad has more.
In between the foothills of the Zabarwan mountain range and the world-famous Dal Lake, Asia's largest tulip garden is now open to the public. Visitors are mesmerized by all the colorful flowers which are on display at the event. This seasonal exhibit is a major attraction for locals as well as tourists visiting this picturesque Himalayan region this time around.
People of Kashmir are eagerly awaiting spring because winters here are tough. For us, Navroz of the Persian New Year festival brings hope. And these flowers are the proof of the spring season. They please the eye and fill us with fresh energy.
In this garden, there are 51 different types of tulips, and caretakers of this garden work hard throughout the year to make sure the flowers bloom well.
This garden is God's grace, and to add to its beauty, we, a team of gardeners, are working year-round. We become delighted when we see visitors from different corners of the world come here to enjoy this beauty. It's a matter of pride for us when they compliment us on our hard work.
Amid the coronavirus pandemic, the number of tourists visiting Kashmir has drastically reduced. Now, India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi has taken to Twitter and urged Indian citizens to visit Kashmir's tulip garden.
Kashmir is a heaven on earth. This is what we had heard, but now we believe it. I have never seen so many flowers together. The beauty of this place is mind-blowing.
Kashmir, a tourism-dependent economy, has long been affected by the ongoing turmoil in the region, and now the coronavirus pandemic has added to the miseries of people here. However, people are hoping against the hope that sooner or later the region will witness lasting peace and prosperity. Shahana Bhatt, Indian-administered Kashmir.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.